Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gann. I hope you like the snazzy new music there, new theme song for Go For It, courtesy of Charles Trahan. Trahan, if you're listening, thanks a lot. Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions, all your ideas, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinions. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Doing well.
Hanging in there, I guess, right? Enjoying the summer?
Yeah. Definitely. But now it's time to get down to business and time to do what we do on a regular basis, and that's talk sports and having a little fun doing it, right?
Much to talk about. I'm so excited with LeBron fever in full effect here. So, excuse me if I don't sound it. Trust me, I'm jumping up and down here.
Well, you kind of sounded. I mean, you seem very excited about LeBron, and let's start with the NBA free agency. Right now, I mean, last week when we talked about it, it was just a lot, and it still is a lot of just okay, a lot of he said she said in a lot of ways. I mean, you have guys saying okay, LeBron is going to make his decision on Monday, July 5th. Well, it's July 5th. LeBron has not made his decision. And now there's talk now LeBron will make his decision later in the week. Okay, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James, done deal, all three were going to Chicago. Still hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but it still hasn't happened. There was an alleged free agency summit meeting, Boys Mind Summit.
Self-proclaimed Boys Mind. I mean, Paul, come on. We saw it. You see this. I mean, I don't know if you were up this morning. I was up, you know, early at 5:30, and I watched the rerun of SportsCenter, and we finally got to the 9 o'clock hour where it's live, and it was just, it's all LeBron all the time. They might as well have ESPN simulcast, you know, didn't ESPN4 or maybe the Ocho, you know, just all LeBron. It's getting to the point where it's ridiculous. They're camped outside of his office. You know, they expect him every second to make moves. Who he's seeing, who he's talking to. J.A. Adonde, I don't think he sleeps.
I don't think any of them sleeping right now. I mean, it's crazy as what we're seeing and just what's going on. I mean, let's be honest. We haven't seen anything like this in terms of free agency. I mean, this is the best free agency class in basketball history. I mean, come on, you got, like I said before, I've stated this again.
But, Paul, I don't disagree, but they're not paying attention. Are they really? No, I'm not going to hold on. You hold on me every week. No, I mean, this. You're right. This is the best free agency. Here we go. You know as well as I do. You just said it, Paul. It's the best free agency class. But are they paying attention to the class, or are they just really paying attention to LeBron?
Well, they're paying attention to the whole class. I mean, Dwayne Wade is they're talking Dwayne Wade. A lot of talk about him. Chris Bosh, a lot of talk about him. And actually, Amari Stoudemire, who actually just signed today or agreed in principle with a deal with the New York Knicks, 5 years, $100 million. So that's a big signing for the Knicks. They get their power forward in Amari Stoudemire, a guy who's very familiar with Mike D'Antoni in that system. So they get their guy, and as of right now, that does not affect how and then their dealings with going after LeBron James. And actually, there was a story that LeBron James and the Knicks had a kind of a secret meeting yesterday. I guess it's not really secret, but I mean, they had a meeting yesterday, and they talked about the situation and all these other things. I mean, who knows what they're talking about? Who knows what's going to happen? And, you know, again, it's, we can speculate until the cows come home, but at the end of the day, who knows how this is going to play out? I mean, Amari Stoudemire to the Knicks, yes, that's one big guy who's out the way. Joe Johnson signed, max deal with the Hawks. He's another guy now who's out the way. So now we're waiting pretty much for the big three in a lot of ways, Bosh, Wade, and LeBron James in no particular order. And now we're waiting for that to see what happens there. I mean, that's the big three right now. Those three
but
guys.
But Paul, I mean, well, there's no disagreeing that's the big three. But really, was there enough attention paid, you know, let's say to the entire class of free agents? Supposing, for example, LeBron James wasn't in this class. You mean to tell me you don't think that you would be seeing a lot more, especially being made of Amari Stoudemire joining the Knicks?
Well,
everything
yeah, I mean,
has to do with him joining. No, you're not.
You are. I mean,
everything you had to do
making,
about joining.
I think they are making a big deal, this whole free agency deal. But let's be honest, LeBron James is arguably the best player in the game. So, I mean, you can kind of understand them making a ESPN, whoever, all these other media outlets making a big deal of this. Because this is it's rare where you see your best, arguably the best player in a game, a free agent, and testing the market. It's rare. It doesn't happen often, so it's rare when something like that happens. And it's an exciting time for if you're an NBA fan to me, to see all this going on and seeing the attention being drawn to the league during an off time. So, I mean,
I'm not disagreeing. There is certainly a lot of attention being drawn, but I think it's too much LeBron. You know, I think this is one of the best, like you said, the best classes of free agents in years, and here we have a situation where it's basically all about LeBron, and it's tiresome to me because I see it. I've been saying it for a while. It's very simple. If he wants to win, he goes to the Bulls. I mean, it's period, point blank. The rest of the stuff they're throwing out there, for example, he goes to the Knicks. They showed it today. I mean, you put him and Amari Stoudemire on the Knicks roster next year, and they're making a playoff, but that's it. They're getting bumped in the first round, Paul.
Well, they become a contender, but you want to.
They're not. They're a contender
they're
for a playoff
spot. Because you have arguably the best player in the game, and arguably
you're right. They're a contender.
The best powerful in basketball. And so now at that point, if you fill the roster out correctly, you have a possibility to contend. I mean, you got arguably two best players at their position, and then you couple that with a Gallinari who showed some promise for the Knicks and Wilson Chandler.
Come on, Paul. Come on.
And now
stop! They're contending with guys that show promise. But where are you? I mean, like, are you? Do you? Is there something wrong? Like, I mean, do the listeners? Do you need a hug? I mean, is there? I know you had a new baby. You're probably not getting a lot of sleep. But where are you? Like, hello?
I mean,
are you
I'm not asking for a hug. I mean, my wife, if she wants to give me a hug, I mean, that would be great. But I mean, I'm not asking for a hug from the world. All I'm saying is this: if you add LeBron James, you and Amari Stoudemire on your roster,
you make
you're
the playoffs,
a contender.
Paul.
You're an instant
you make,
contender. You're
okay.
an instant contender. Now,
right.
Now the level of contender you are, we'll see. I mean, it all depends how you fill that roster out and how all these things come together. But, I mean, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to be joined by Kurt Healing of ProBasketballTalk.com, and he's going to talk about these free agents and talk about this free agent game and what's going on. I mean, what's going on and how this thing is going to play out? It should be very, 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 very interesting. And I'm excited, man, I mean, to see where LeBron James will go, where D-Wade will go. Not so with Chris Bosh. I mean, yes, he's a solid player, and he's a star, but he's not a superstar. But also, I mean, there's also been talk with Bosh and Wade. These guys kind of playing this thing out.
You know what? Come on, stop. No. He's not a superstar, Paul? Why? Because he played on a horrible team for his whole career?
Bosh is a number two guy. He's not a number one guy. He's a number two guy.
Right.
And he'll go perfect with a Bosh or a D. Wade. But, I mean, there also has been talk with Bosh and Wade that these guys are kind of playing this thing out. Because
Paul, wait. How are you? Wait.
No, they're making a documentary chronicling this whole situation, this whole deal. So there's been talk that these guys are kind of pushing this thing out and kind of almost making a game out of it and adding some drama to it because of the documentary that they're putting together.
So hey, are you done about the documentary? Now back to what's really important. Because I'm so tired of the apologist Paul, and now I love LeBron Paul. I mean, I can't even tell you how nauseous I get when I hear Donovan McNabb Paul. I don't even want to talk about that Paul. He's got a restraining order against him. But how then do you call Chris Bosh a second-tier guy?
I'm sorry.
I can't go near the toilet, Paul. You know, how are you calling Chris Bosh a second-tier player? You know,
Chris Bosh is winning. I'm not calling Chris Bosh a second. I'm not calling Chris Bosh is a star. He is a star, but he's not a superstar. He's not a superstar. He's a star.
But what's the criteria for a superstar, Paul? What's the criteria?
If you're the guy, you're the number one guy, you can carry your team. Allen Iverson, back in his days, was a superstar. LeBron James is a superstar. Kobe Bryant is a superstar. I mean, Kevin Durant is on the verge of superstardom. I mean, you got guys, these are superstars. Dwayne Wade is a superstar. Dirk Nowitzki is a superstar. But I wouldn't put Chris Bosh in the same level as Dirk Nowitzki. I think they're on the same level, but I think Dirk Nowitzki is a better player. I think Dirk Nowitzki's a better player. But all you're not going to compare LeBron James to Chris Bosh, are you?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm tired. No, I'm not, Paul, but I'm also getting extremely tired of how great LeBron James is in comparison to what he's been able to do with what I think. I mean, the comparisons you're making with LeBron James, that he should be winning championships with this Cleveland team. In fact, this was the Cleveland team, if I understand what you said correctly, this is the team that should have won the championship, right? And they got bounced by has-beens, Paul. They got bounced by has-beens. They didn't just get bounced. They got torn up by has-beens.
They didn't get bounced by has-beens. I mean, they got bounced
by... you're right. They weren't has-beens. They're washed-up has-beens. Let's keep it real.
Obviously, the Boston Celtics have proven to you that they are not washed-up has-beens by how they played in these playoffs.
No, they proved to me that lightning still exists in a bottle.
They beat the best. Record-wise, they beat the two best teams in the NBA. So they're not has-beens. This is a very obviously it's a championship contending basketball team. It would have been a championship contending basketball team last year if Kevin Garnett wasn't hurt. So
one thing in the NBA, Paul, you need a deep team.
As Doc Rivers pointed out throughout the playoffs, that starting five of Perkins, Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen, and Rondo has not lost a playoff series. And Doc can still say that because Perk was hurt in Game 7 against the Lakers. So, I mean, all I'm saying, with all that being said, what I'm saying is I think that, quite frankly, Boston, what a better team than Cleveland from top to bottom with the big three and Rondo stepping up. And, hey, LeBron has nothing – I mean, hey, it's all about winning championships. But at the same time, LeBron James didn't win 60 ball games two seasons. This team did win 60 games two years in a row. Made a conference finals appearance two seasons ago, and also made an NBA finals appearance 3 years ago. So, I mean, he's got his team to the promised land once, didn't win, and got his team pretty close to the promised land on two other occasions. So he's a superstar, and he carries his team. When he's on a roll, they're on a roll. When he's not on a roll, well, there's some trouble.
Well, I mean, I think that might be the only thing you said tonight that is just about accurate. It's not, you know, really relevant.
Well, I like to think everything I say is accurate.
Yeah, I know. What you like to think and what is reality are vastly different. So
well,
we
sometimes,
just,
you know, reality and perception.
It's tiresome to see, you know, I mean, the mantra continue Monday, Wednesday, Saturday of apologies and how great, you know, just the upper echelon are. But I mean, like, I guess guys like Chris Bosh, they don't have much to say. The Celtics sucked until they started winning. And then, of course, the guy that threw everyone off the bandwagon and is just now you're driving the train. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, the Celtics were 27-27 to end the season.
Oh, you said they had no chance.
They were 500, and they ended the year 500.
You said they had no chance.
500 basketball, and I don't think I'm the only one who did not think they would.
I was the guy sitting there telling you all the entire playoffs. Don't get it twisted. You know, they're going to win. Because in the NBA, you're not winning with just one player. I mean, and the perfect example of that is who won the NBA championship. And who did I tell you was going to win the NBA championship? The Lakers. And I told you they're going to do it. You know, I said they're going to do it in 6 games. They did it in 7. Wasn't that far off. Because they have a very talented roster. You put LeBron James and Amari Stoudemire on the Knicks team, they are going to vie for 6-8 in the playoffs, and that's it. Two players are not making a team.
So what's the difference?
And guys that may pan out.
What is the difference between Amari Stoudemire and LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol?
The difference is the Lakers bench. That's the difference, Paul. Versus the Knicks bench. The difference.
You don't know how they're going to fill out that roster.
Here's what we know, Paul.
The right guys, they can be successful. But
right.
You know, let's hear what the callers think. I mean, the number to call 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pregan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pregan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. And it's not too late for you to make a pitch for your city. Tell LeBron James, tell D-Wade why maybe he should come to New York, why maybe he should come to New Jersey, why maybe he should come to Chicago, why maybe they should come to Cleveland. I mean, tell us maybe why maybe they should come to L.A. Join Clipper Darryl and the Clippers, in the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, tell us, make a pitch for your city. Big your city up. Tell LeBron James why he should come to your city. Let us know what you think. And I'm on board of saying LeBron should stay in Cleveland. And you know, who knows what's going to happen. But I hope LeBron does the right thing and stays in Cleveland, because he can become a legend in Cleveland and a guy who will go down as one of the best and the greatest in Cleveland sports history. We have a caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
I'm Bishop from New York. I think.
Hey, Bishop, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man?
Make a pitch for your city.
I think LeBron should go to the Knicks for one exact reason. I think he should go to the Knicks because the Cavs, they have too many good players as well. The Knicks need someone who can lead them to a championship. So that's why I think LeBron should go to the Knicks.
But why New York? What's so great about New York?
Well, New York needs the money.
I'm with you on that one.
Well, we all need the money. I mean, I need money. But, I mean, what's so great about New York City? I mean, it's expensive. It's crowded. There's a lot of people. What's so great about New York City?
Just our economy's down, so we're going to need to boost it up if we get a championship win.
You think
they're getting a championship win with LeBron? So you're on Paul's team here. You think just one player is going to bring them a championship?
No, I don't think it's just going to be one player. I just think it's going to be – I think LeBron could lead them to a championship. If LeBron cooperates and does all this good stuff for the team, I think the team will be able to, you know, cooperate with him and at least try.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens, but, I mean – LeBron needs to stay in Cleveland. And LeBron, why would you want to go to New York? Like I said, it's crowded. It's expensive. They got funny accents. I mean, why would you want to go to New York, LeBron? But, Bishop, we thank you for your call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, Bishop made a pitch for New York City. Would you want to live in New York City?
You know what, Paul? I wouldn't mind living anywhere these days. I mean, I think little change of pace doesn't do you bad. I was thinking maybe we'd head out to I need some nice open land though, so I don't know if New York would necessarily work for me. But I can tell you if LeBron's going to be there, it would just probably be the end of that city. Cause if
well, let me ask you a question. What if you're LeBron James? What do you do?
I told you,
Paul.
I told you, I can answer it two ways. The only reason I say it is because, like, I'm not necessarily convinced, like everyone else is, that you're going to get an answer out of this guy this quick. I think everything that you've now seen in the media indicates, I don't really think LeBron knows what's best for him just yet. I think making a snap decision is not exactly smart for him. But I told you honestly, if it's the $30 million you're after, because really this decision comes down to $30 million. If it's $30 million, stay with the Cavs. If you really, really, really want to win a championship, I honestly believe the best place to do that in this market for him is in Chicago.
But look, here's the only thing I have. Here's the problem I have with Chicago. My only problem, not the only problem, but one of many problems. You can't guarantee that with Rose and Noah and Dank and all these guys with LeBron that this will equal or equate to becoming a championship contender. I mean, Derrick Rose is going to be a star. Yes, I'll give you that. Joakim Noah, he's a great role player. I'll give you that
but
as well.
But
then,
Paul, you need that. And you know
terms,
that. Don't
terms,
escape that.
In terms of role, my only thing is, in terms of if you roll out the ball today, you know what you're going to get in Cleveland. You're assuming that this will all come together with Rose and all these guys. You're assuming that this will come together. But, again, if you roll that ball out, if you roll the ball out with the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's 60 wins. It's proven, and you're a championship contender. Now, again, Cleveland and Dan Gilbert have an ownership in general has proven that they are willing to spend the money to get this thing right and to try to bring in pieces. Now, I think they need LeBron James at some point in these playoffs to step up and to carry them to that next level, which I think he can do with the way the roster is presently constructed. Now, we'll see what happens. I mean, Shaq is a free agent. We'll see if they bring him back or what they will do in terms of finding a big man. But I think with Jameson
Paul, let me understand this. You actually believe that the Cleveland Cavaliers roster, straight up and down this year with LeBron or next year with LeBron, or the Bulls roster, straight up and down, just strictly with LeBron, forgetting about all the other scenarios, you actually believe that the Bulls roster is not superior to the Cavs roster?
You can't guarantee me that. I mean, you can't.
I'm not talking about guarantees. I'm not in the guarantee business, Paul. I'm not in the guarantee business. I said, are they better?
What I know and what I see. What I see guaranteed 60 wins with the Cleveland Cavaliers, if you roll the ball out today, it's been proven the last 2 years, this team has averaged over 60 wins. I mean, if you roll the ball out today, that's what I see. So basically,
when you go to the ATM, you go right up to your mattress. Is that what you're telling me? Your PIN is MATTRES. Leave off the last S for savings.
Hey, you can't guarantee me that with Rose and all
these guys. I told you I retired from the guaranteeing business.
Hey, but you cannot. You can't. I understand you can't guarantee. But if you roll the ball out with Cleveland, you got 60 wins there. A couple breaks here and there. You're a championship contender. I mean, you're in the NBA Finals.
Listen to me, do me a favor. Go up to your son's room. He's probably doing his homework right about now. Get a piece of his paper out. Just put it on paper. I'm not asking. My question was, I want to know, and I still am holding out for an answer because I think you're intelligent enough.
Let's do this. Let's look at the Bulls roster the way it's.
So we're gonna go roster for roster.
Let's go roster for roster with the Chicago Bulls the way it's presently constructed. Before we do that, let's take a caller before we do that. Hello, you're on. Go for it. Hello, you're on. Go for it.
This is Kenya from New York.
Kenya, how are you?
Make a pitch for your city.
Oh, the pitch is definitely to bring LeBron to the city. We need some new talent. We could always use a fresh start. New York could always use a fresh start. You know, we had a good year. The year before last, and I'm really looking forward for another year like that. And I think LeBron will definitely bring that to New York. And that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I want to see.
Why I like your enthusiasm and all, and your accent's a little funny. Sounds like a New York accent. And it's crowded out there and stinks in New York City, and it's expensive. Why would LeBron James want to go to New York City? And the basketball team really has not been that good these past couple years.
It's the biggest tourist attraction, okay? New York City is where it's at. That's where everyone wants to be right now, okay? So LeBron coming to New York will be this will bring so much revenue into the city.
I love your enthusiasm, but in terms of your knowledge, it's a little questionable. I mean, you talked about the Knicks being good two seasons ago. I don't know if you've been watching too much basketball, but quite frankly, the Knicks stink.
No, we
it's a matter of speaking, Paul. It's a matter of speaking.
I mean, they stink. Let's not call it what it is. They stink. The Knicks stink. The city of New York, not a big fan of the city. And if I'm LeBron James, I don't know why would you even go to that city? I mean, you'll have a bunch of people with funny accents, and everybody will think that everything in New York is great. And it's just, if you're LeBron James, don't go there.
It is a great city. That's why they're building a stadium here in Brooklyn, which the team joined from New Jersey coming into New York. They're building that stadium here in New York City because this is where it's at. New York is where it's at, okay? Whether LeBron goes to New Jersey, whether he goes to New York, he will still be playing in New York. So New York fans will still have the opportunity to see LeBron James play, regardless of whether it's at Madison Square Garden or the new stadium that they're going to be building inside of New York.
All right, that's enough. I had enough for that New York accent.
The interesting thing, too, Paul, is the stadium is, I think, what she meant in terms of the new Meadowlands, but the new arena they may build.
She's talking about the new arena with the
called
Brooklyn,
an arena,
the
ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that's for the Knicks.
But that accent, I mean, you can only take so much of that New York accent. I mean,
really, Paul? Only so much? How much can you take, Paul? You know what? Are you gonna, Paul? I'm gonna start apologizing. No. No, you know what? I think right now, before we go any further, I want to know how much can you take.
Again, you can only take so much in New York accent.
So what's so much? A couple of hours? I can tell you how much I can take.
Well, I mean, again.
You know what I hate is the guys that think they're from New York who just start talking like that because they lived there for a couple of months.
Well, unfortunately, I had the opportunity to live in New York City for a couple of years, and I emphasize the word unfortunately. Again, crowded, expensive, and just not a place that I wanted to live. And LeBron James, take it from you don't know me, LeBron James, but take it from your boy, LeBron. Don't go to New York, LeBron. But hold on, while we're talking about where LeBron should go, let's kind of look at the Chicago Bull roster. And kind of let's go down player by player along with the Cleveland Cavaliers roster and kind of make a comparison. I mean, right now for the Bulls, you have Luol Deng, Taj Gibson, an impressive rookie, James Johnson, Brad Miller, Flip Murray, Joakim Noah, Gennaro Pargo, Derrick Rose. And you compare that to a Cleveland roster right now with Mo Williams, J.J. Hickson, Antoine Jamison, Delonte West. We'll see what they'll do in terms of filling out the roster. I mean, you don't know how they'll fill out the rosters, free agency, and in terms of any type of sign and trades or anything of that nature. So you're not sure how that works out, but, I mean – yes, Derrick Rose is a very good player, and Derrick Rose is a guy who has the ability and the opportunity to be a star. But I do question whether him and LeBron can play together, because I think both of these guys need the ball to be effective. So it will it be? Can that work? Can these two work together somehow. I mean, I do question whether that can work, the Rose and LeBron pairing. And I remember Phil Jasner, the great writer from the Philadelphia Daily News, talking about with LeBron James, you do need a sniper. You need a shooter. And with Derrick Rose, I mean, Derrick Rose is not a guy you would call a spot-up shooter. He's not necessarily that. He's more of a driver. So I don't. It would be interesting to see whether if these two players could actually play together and be effective together.
And you don't. And you think? Well, I don't know. I hate to say I almost agree with you, but I may.
I mean, you don't know. I mean, LeBron James is a great player, and he's an unselfish superstar. So, if any guy can work with any guy, anybody, it's LeBron James. So, I mean, maybe he can manage to work with Derrick Rose and get it done. But I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I would agree with that.
Unless you. I mean, let's hear what the callers think. Numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, we're expected to be joined by Kurt Healing of ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt's going to talk about what's going on and what's the latest and the greatest in this free agency situation. Where's LeBron possibly going to go? Where's D-Wade possibly going to go? Where is Chris Bosh possibly going to go? I mean, I emphasize the word possibly because no one – I mean, you hear everybody every day saying, okay, he's going here. Speculation is he's going there. Speculation is he's going up there. Speculation is he's staying. Speculation is he's going. I mean, speculation after speculation, people talking and talking and talking, and you just hear, all these different things, and you don't know what's going on and how it's all going to shake out, and who knows? But, I mean, wherever he goes, it should be very, 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 very interesting. Should be very interesting to see where LeBron James will go. Arguably the best player in the NBA is a free agent. Where will he go? And I hope it's Cleveland. I'm hoping it's Cleveland. But we'll see. And if you look at the Knicks right now, I mean, they add Stoudemire. But if that's all they add in this upcoming free agency thing, it might be. Is it a success? I mean, is it a success if all you add is Amari Stoudemire? Granted, Eddie Curry's money is coming off the cap next year. He makes a lot of money, close to $11 million. So that's coming off the cap next year. And you possibly have an opportunity of going after Carmelo Anthony. But, you know, I mean, if you all you're adding is Amari Stoudemire, how successful has it been? I mean, these past few years, you've been playing for basically LeBron James. You've been making trades and making all these moves to get rid of LeBron James. I mean,
but they'll get someone else, and you know that. I think that if you're making the point right, that they don't get LeBron James, but you know as well as I do that there no team, in especially in the NBA, because of, you know, the contracts and the way that their cap is structured, no team really has the power, especially in this free agent market, the power to dictate. Because basically every team can offer the same thing. There really can be no different offer. So it's very player-driven.
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, if you look at
and that's
it,
the thing that I say, and I know your perspective in all seriousness, aside from only being able to take the slang so much in New York, the way they speak, but honestly,
the accent.
Thank you, there, Captain. In all honesty, you know, New York is really—they're no different than any of the other teams because it's the offer that's going to drive them. And what hurts them the most is the players around them. The fact that most of the players around them, you know, if I'm LeBron, I'm looking there saying, "Geez."
Well, but if you're LeBron and you get Amari Stoudemire, and you may be happy with that. I mean, you may be happy with Amari as your power forward, and a guy who is arguably one of the better power forwards in the game. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Yeah, I wanted to call. I wanted to say I think LeBron should stay home. I think he's got a good thing going in Cleveland. But I also think that they need to get more than Shaquille O'Neal and Mo Williams. They need to get somebody in there that's going to bring them to the next level. It's going to bring them deep into the playoffs and give them a shot.
Well, I mean, the guy that they thought would do that was Antoine Jamison. And
he did a bang-up job, right, Paul?
Well, they ran into the Boston Celtics, and unfortunately it didn't work out for them. But, I mean, they're a team that possibly can do some things sign and trade-wise. And they can try to maneuver. I mean, because, you know, you got a lot of players who would love to play with an unselfish player like a LeBron James. So maybe they can do that. But at the same time, it's my contention, and I've been arguing this for a long time. Roll the ball out tomorrow, and you're getting 60 wins. Does that equate to a championship? Maybe. Not yet, but maybe. I mean, it does give you home court advantage, and maybe from there you can take advantage of that and possibly go far into the playoffs and ultimately go to the NBA Finals and win a championship. But, I mean, in terms of Shaq, I mean, Shaq is what Shaq is. I mean, at this stage of his career, he's 11 points, 5-6 boards a game. But the move for Shaq was again, to try to limit and try to bang Dwight Howard. Unfortunately, they didn't make it to Dwight Howard. But I do think if they would have made it to Dwight Howard with Shaq, and with Jamison, they may have, they would have went to the NBA Finals, and I think they would have beat the Lakers. But again, they ran into that buzzsaw in Boston, and a team, a talented roster, and a team, a hungry team, a veteran team that was not done and had some game in them and had another run left in them, and they proved it. But we thank you for your call. So, I mean, you know, I mean, he does bring up a good point in terms of who are they going to surround.
Yeah, most definitely, Paul. I mean, and that's the big key, out for Cleveland is how are they going to improve it if they were to retain LeBron for the long run? Because this team is, like you said, it's a Hall of Fame 60-win team. That's all they've really proven to be. They're Hall of Famers
with
60 wins.
Yes.
Maybe in a strike short year, that'll work for them. But till that point,
well, you hope that for the sake of the Cleveland fan base, that would be enough. But I mean, right now in the past couple of years,
the interesting thing, I'm sure, I'm actually eager to get your take on this too. Is now if you're LeBron, how does it look knowing, for example, you're not necessarily the first guy to go to one of the big free agent teams, for example. With Amari landing in New York first, now he knows really if he goes there who he's playing with. So, I mean, how important is that if you're LeBron being now tied to New York? The fact that you know who your wingman is going to be, so to speak.
Well, I mean, I guess in some respect it does give New York an advantage because now you do know who you're going to be playing with, or, I mean, at least know one of the players that you will be playing with. And it's not a bad player in Amari Stoudemire. I mean, he's a star. Not a superstar, but he's a star. But so you know going in that, okay, I'm with Lamar. I'm with Amari Stoudemire. And with that signing and talking, you know, maybe he'll talk to management, Knicks management, and figure out, okay, where can we go from here? What else can we add? What other pieces can we add? What kind of cap room do we have in the next few years to add pieces? And so, I mean, there's also been talk about Tony Parker possibly, the Knicks possibly making a trade to get Tony Parker into the mix with their cap room if they don't sign another big guy. Like I said, Carmelo Anthony will be a free agent if he doesn't re-sign with Denver. I mean, Denver, as of right now, has an offer, 3 years, $65 million. So we'll see, again, if he doesn't take that and decides to become a free agent, in 2011, I mean, you're the Knicks. You have an opportunity to add him to another piece to your roster. I mean, so, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I mean, but if you add Amari, LeBron, and I mean, you add Amari now, and who knows what can happen with LeBron, and who knows what happened with Carmelo, but I mean, if you're LeBron James, you do know one thing. You're going to be playing with a good power forward, a stud power forward, Amari Stoudemire. So you know that going into it. Will that sway him or change?
Well, I think one way or the other, it either helped. I mean, it's somewhat of a rhetorical statement, but it certainly one way or the other will help or hurt the Knicks, because I think if you're in a team, ideally it'd be me to want to add LeBron before I add the second piece, because if he doesn't want it, now you're kind of screwed because you added a guy that necessarily LeBron doesn't want. But I have to think, if I'm LeBron James and I want to go to the Knicks, I'm better to go to the Knicks, for example, with Stoudemire than I am with Chris Bosh. Or even, you know.
You have to believe that Knicks ownership spoke to LeBron on some level. I mean, they have to know LeBron would be happy with playing with a guy like Amari Stoudemire. Otherwise, I don't think they would have. Obviously, I think they would have waited.
Unless, for example, LeBron was kind enough to tell them, you know, in their meetings, you might as well do you because it's not going to happen between you and I.
There is
a lot of variables, but I can honestly tell you one thing. I do think the teams right now that are going out and trying to sign the players are the smart ones and not waiting on LeBron. Because at the end of the day, if all you're going to do is sit around and wait, and this is something that now you're starting to hear a lot more of, is it's going to start driving the price up for the mid-level guys. Because these teams have all this cap room that are waiting for LeBron. The bottom line is, when he signs with somebody and it's not you, well, now you have all this money, and it's kind of like, you know, they always say the dollar's burning a hole in your pocket. Because you have all this money, and you're going to overpay for a guy like Carlos Boozer, who they're talking about now is going to probably be looking at a max contract, which if he gets a max contract, I'm telling you, I could be done with basketball.
Well, he's not a max guy, but he's a...
But they're saying, and you've heard the reports, Paul, they're saying he's right around the corner from a max offer from one of these teams that's hot to, you know, to get a big guy or come away from the free agent market like the Nets, who have to spend money because they have a fan base.
Well, we'll see what happens with Boozer. With Stoudemire is off the market, Joe Johns is off the market. But, I mean, I think with Boozer and Bosh and those guys, I think they're going to want to see where Wade or LeBron, where they land. And then they'll decide from there what they want to do and where they want to go. So, I mean, I think that's what happened. I think that's what's going to happen with those guys, with a Carlos Boozer. I think that's what happened there with that situation. But you're right, Carlos Boozer is not a max guy by no stretch of the imagination. He's a very good power forward, and he's a guy that's a great number two for your team, but he's definitely not a max guy.
Well, there's a lot of them out there that aren't max guys, and you're going to see him get money, you know, that they would have never gotten. And I think, you know, I'll tell you who the one guy is, and they say that Paul Pierce is going to re-sign with the Celtics. If I was Paul Pierce, I really probably would have rethought that. I'm surprised he stayed. There's a guy that really could.
I'm not really surprised that he went, because I figured that he would go. And I'm not surprised there. I'm really not.
Well, and he did it to save cap room, which, I mean, was good for him. They saved cap room this year. Saves them about almost $4 million. They said $4 or $5 million in just pure cap room, because the way his new contract is structured, it's less money, like over the average. Where this year he was slated to make over, I think they said $20 some million, some ridiculous number that he'll make. So it winds up working to be less. So should they go out and sign someone to that mid-level exception? Probably a Ray Allen type, or I guess in a way shows you his loyalty to that team and to, you know, to Doc Rivers. But I was surprised. I thought.
Hello, you don't go for it. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Kurt?
Yeah.
Hey, hello. We're joined by Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. How are you, Kurt?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Now, Kurt, big deal today with Maurice Stoudemire, 5 years, $100 million, New York Knicks. How does that change the landscape of this free agency thing?
I'm not sure it changes it that much in terms of what Shaq and those guys do. I don't think any of them were really headed to New York anyway. Maybe if Mari wasn't there. It will be interesting to see who they try to get to bring with him now, whether they try to go – they do try to make a trade for, like, Tony Parker. They certainly need a point guard up there who can run the show. But I don't know that it's going to change what Wade or Bosch or LeBron does. I think that they're kind of going their own direction. But it does give a bill, you know, he's still one of the best power forwards in the game. It certainly gives New York a piece to start building around.
Now with Amari in the fold with the Knicks, you don't think that changes LeBron's thinking at all? I mean, do you think the Knicks kind of consulted with LeBron James before they made this deal with Amari Stoudemire?
I don't think so. They certainly had that second meeting with him after this deal was, you know, pretty much set. They met with LeBron again on Saturday night and basically said, we have him. But everybody close to LeBron says that he's still number four on the pecking order, or that New York's still number four on the pecking order behind Cleveland, Chicago, and New Jersey. So I don't know that it changes it that much for LeBron. I imagine he took notice and gave it a little more thought, but I still don't think that's a place he's going to land or is all that comfortable landing. He's got a pretty his environment in where he is in Cleveland, he doesn't get scrutinized nearly like he would in New York. He can still go to a movie without 15 people tweeting that they saw him at the movie theater.
Right.
That would really change, and I'm not sure he wants that environmental change. I'm not sure he would welcome the savior label that would be put on him if he went to New York. So I don't think it's going to fly, even though I think he'd be amazing in D'Antoni's system.
Now, Dirk Nowitzki, Paul Pierce, those guys, they signed, not with their respective teams, not really a surprise there. Nah. Joe Johnson, he signed a max deal with the Hawks. Are you surprised that he went back to Atlanta?
No, he actually had said that he didn't want to leave Atlanta, and everyone around him had said that he really liked it there, he liked the team, he didn't want to leave. I'm surprised they gave him full max money. A, I think he would have stayed for a little bit less, and B, even if I don't really think he's a pure, true max player, but even if you're going to give him max money, it's really the fourth, fifth, sixth years of that deal that make me really question it because, you know, he will be, I think, 34, 35 at the end of that deal, and he's already shown signs of starting to – he hasn't really started to step back yet, but I think you're going to start to see that over the next couple of years, that he's not going to be better over the next 6 years than as like he was the last 6 years. And that's a deal in a few years that's just going to be an albatross. When he's 34 and they're paying him $23 million, that's going to really just be a hard thing for them to deal with. That's going to really mess up their cap number and do a lot of things to them. And that's not that high level of a franchise.
Well, but let me ask you this. So do you see them then making a push in the next, you know, 2 to 4 years, Atlanta? That's an interesting point. And we were just, Paul and I were just discussing the same with Carlos Boozer. There are reports that he'll be getting max money should some of these free agents land quicker rather than later.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Boozer got max money from someone trying to make sure they got him. I don't think the Hawks have any choice, especially with their roster right now. They kind of need to make a run for it. There's a report now that they've made a 2-year offer to Shaq to come in and play center. They're apparently even shopping Josh Smith around a little bit to see if there's interest in him. Maybe that basically, you know, this year they got really pushed around in the second round of the playoffs. The Magic were just bigger than them and more physical.
You know what,
than
I think,
trying to do
think,
that back. I think they're trying to get a little more physical.
I have to ask you this because it's just amazing to me. Paul and I, we usually will bicker back and forth. You mentioned Shaq and Atlanta. Like, how does any NBA team look at him and say, that's a worthwhile investment? There's a player that's going to get us to the championship. At his age, you know, and the wear and tear on his body.
Well, you got to, understand that they, like Kurt pointed out, they were pushed around by Dwight Howard and the Orlando Magic. So
oh,
I think
oh, come on,
Shaq, you remedy that on some level.
With what?
Yeah, I don't
what
see.
Do
I don't
think,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't think Shaq helps it that much. You make Horford the four, and he'll be a very good four. I mean, he's a little undersized at a center, and he still scored plenty, but it was a hard defensive matchup for him some nights. Shaq, though, yeah, there's just not a lot there. There's just not that much left in the tank. You know, he can give you spurts. And the other part of that is that they're, you know, this is kind of what Cleveland did last year. They got pushed around by Orlando the previous year, when the year Orlando went to the finals. They started building to beat Orlando. Then they ran into Boston. And everything they built to match up to Orlando became a problem for them when they were matched up with Boston. All the matchups didn't work for them. I don't think you can build that way. I can't imagine trading Josh Smith and bringing in Shaq and thinking you're getting better. And the flip side of that is if you really want to make them better, they need a point guard. Mike Bibby is not it anymore. That's where they got to go. That's what they got to fix.
Now, do you think Jeff Teague is the answer?
I like Teague. I'd love to see him get some more burn, but I'm not sure he's – I'd want some insurance there, let's put it that way. I would love to have another guy in there. And they've got – you know, there's some Jordan Farmar-like guys out there that you could bring in and see what they could do that are solid point guards that you're not going to cost you a lot of money. Raymond Felton's out there, a few other guys. You've got to do something. You've got to use I can't believe you're going to use your mid-level on Shaq and not address the point guard situation. Because if you come back with another year of Mike Bibby, I'm not sure you get where. I'm not sure you're any better.
Do you think Shaq will accept that offer? I mean, has there been?
I don't.
What is the market like for Shaq?
There hasn't been much of a market. He's tried to sell himself to Dallas pretty hard. They haven't really bitten yet. They're trying to get. They want Brendan Haywood more. Boston apparently did some early contact with him, but they've gone after Mike Miller more, which I think tells you where the market is. If you're reaching out to Mike Miller before you're reaching out to Shaq, it kind of tells you where you are with Shaq. I don't think he's going to get a better offer. I think he's got to realize, it isn't about Shaq. He's savvy. He's a smart guy. He's got to realize that this is it. This is what I'm getting. So my guess is I would be surprised if he didn't, especially 2 years. He said he wanted to play 2 years. They're really going to give him 2 years. And they're giving him the full mid-level, which for a backup big isn't a ton of money. It's just, to me, it seems like they could better use that money. So, but apparently that's what they're offering, and I'd be surprised if that's really the offer. That's on the table, and he's thinking about it. I don't think he's going to get anything better.
I think he should be signed tomorrow. I mean, honestly, and one of the things that Paul and I, we go back and forth, and you hit the nail right on the head, was that Cleveland did. They thought signing Shaq puts them over the top for the Magic, and they don't even meet the Magic. And a guy like Shaq, in the last 3-4 years, he's so injury-prone. To me, it's not even worth the risk. If you're a team that really wants to win now, you really go after anybody other than a guy that you know is going to miss 20 to 30 games easy.
And I'm not a fan of building my team to match up to a specific team. And then, like I said, Cleveland was very guilty of that. I mean, Jameson was brought in to match up with Rashard Lewis. There were specific things they did to try to prepare for that, and it ended up being kind of a moot point. If Atlanta's thing is to get bigger, then there are things they could have done through the draft to do it more cheaply, I would think. Shaq just doesn't seem like an efficient use of money. Like I said, until they address the point guard situation, I don't really see them being. I mean, they're so athletic, and we'll see what Larry Drew brings with them. If they would play some really good defense and then get out, and they've got so many good finishers on that team, they could try to turn some of that defense into some points going the other direction, and we'll see what Larry Drew brings. But Larry Drew was the lead assistant. Are we going to see that big a change? They think they are, but they're going to have to prove it to me. If you bring in the lead assistant, that usually says you're not making big changes.
And Mike Woodson, I thought, did a superb job in Atlanta in getting them to the playoffs the past few years.
I don't think he did a bad job. I think he did. I think he got them as far as he could, but there are things that certainly needed to be addressed there in terms of more motion in the offense and things that I would like to see. And frankly, That team with those guys, they should be running like the wind.
And they were a little, like you said, they were a little one-on-one a lot last year
with
Joe Johnson and Jamal Crawford. Now, I want to go to Dwayne Wade. There's been talk about him possibly going to Chicago, and there's been talk about the situation with his wife and his kids and his kids living in Chicago. Earlier free agency, we're all saying that D. Wade is the least likely to leave his team. Do you think he will leave Miami?
I still think he stays in Miami. That'd be my guess. I think, though, Chicago certainly gave him a lot to think about. I don't think it was something he seriously considered, and I think he met with them out of almost courtesy or the first time around, then had a second meeting with them when he was realizing, hey, you know, this could work. And I don't know how well he and Derrick Rose work sharing the basketball in the same time, but if they could do something where they got him and Bosch to join Noah and Rose, that's suddenly about as good a team as you're going to see in the East. And then that's, you know,
right,
wherever LeBron lands. And so I think suddenly he was tempted by this offer. And Chicago, you know, it's still his home, you know, his hometown, and that's
right,
a great city, and it's a great place to play, and it's a great place to win. So yeah, clearly it was tempting.
Now,
we'll see where
Bosch,
he lands.
Now with Chris Bosch, a lot of people are saying now he's going to wait till one of the big guys, LeBron or D. Wade, decide where they're going to go. Is Chris Bosh going to follow one of these guys, or is he going to do his own thing, maybe go to Houston or Dallas?
That's the million-dollar question to me, because to me, at the end of the day, he is the guy that decides who wins how much and who wins a title. I mean, LeBron's great. Wade's great. We've seen what they can do. But once one of those two guys is paired with Bosch, that team becomes exponentially better. And I think a lot of people in America don't realize how good Chris Bosch is, because he's been playing in Toronto and barely on television, and outside of maybe the Olympic adventure, they haven't really gotten to see him. And that's an odd aberration of a team in a lot of ways. He's really special, and he's going to make somebody very good. And I think, like I said, I think he's the key. You mentioned Houston. That's I think that's his backup plan, or maybe fourth plan, but that's an incredible fit if Yao Ming stays healthy, which is a whole different
right
issue. But anywhere he lands, they become instantly much, much better, especially if he's paired. Honestly, if he just went to Chicago on his own with Rose and Noah, that team becomes very good. So just as those two guys mature and get better. So I still think he's the linchpin. I still think he wants to land in one of those places. He wants more, and I think he's realizing that what he wants is some more recognition. You know, he looks at the other two guys. He doesn't have in Wade and LeBron, he doesn't have their endorsements. He doesn't have their name
right
recognition and Q rating. He wants some of that. And if he really wants that, he's A, got to go to a fairly good sized market, but B, he's got to be on a team that ends up on national television a lot. He's got to be a face, and playing alongside either one of those guys certainly does that, and certainly starts to get him some of the things he doesn't now. And I think that's also the reason he really wants that sign and trade, that extra year, that extra money that he doesn't have. You know, for Wade, you're sacrificing a year and $27 million. You more than make up for in endorsements if you're winning. Same with LeBron. Bosch doesn't have that yet, and so he wants that extra cash if he can get it.
Well, let's kind of get your prediction. I mean, it's kind of hard to say. Let's get your prediction on LeBron James. Where is he going to land?
I still think he stays home. I still think it's Cleveland.
Stays.
And I think Bosch and Wade both end up in Miami. That's if I had to bet, that's how it'll shake out. But it's so fluid and so hard to predict that I have. Let's put it this way: I wouldn't actually be betting money on that. So. If that's my prediction, I'm kind of sticking with it, but it's such a fluid situation that I don't think they're going to New York, but New Jersey's got to be tempting everybody. I mean, that's a good young core, good ownership, and if you're willing to hang around for a couple years until as they build that thing and they get to their new arena in Brooklyn, that's a powerful place to be. So there's a lot of options for them and a lot of tempting options. And you know, at some point, LeBron's got to sit down in quiet in a room, you know, wherever he does his thinking, and figure out what works for him, what really works for him.
So, Kirk Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. Kirk, thanks for joining us. We got to bring you back and talk about this and see how this all shakes out.
Yeah, I think we're going to start to see it, you know, I think Thursday you're going to start to see the announcements flow out. And then once those first dominoes go, it's going to come fast and furious through the weekend, I bet.
All right, Kurt, thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. I want to thank everybody who joined us, everybody who listened to the show, had a good time. We want to thank Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com, for joining us. And thank you all for listening. Bye.
Take care.
Somewhat. did you like Kurt Healing? He did get very wordy, but that's true. Kurt Healing. What happened was he was supposed to come on at 9:35. Why, what's the problem? But I'm saying, my point is, he was supposed to come on at, if he would have kicked.